The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So, it's Chris Johnson's story today. I think this might be my favorite story of the day.
Your number one?
Yeah, I think so.
He's the new Tiger King?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think this is going to make a great podcast for you.
It's called The Titan King.
I like it. In fact, I love it. Yeah, if you didn't see it, he's accused of funding murder-for-hire shootings. Apparently, the guys who shot him and killed his friend, somebody whacked them, and he sent them money. Like, let's say, you know, you and I are driving somewhere, and somebody shoots you and kills you. And I find out later that the guys who did it got whacked by somebody else. I might want to send them a thank you. That's all.
Exactly.
Now, if I called them ahead of time and said, hey, if you do this, I'll pay you X, that's a little different. Now you're Joe Exotic.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Lots of other good stuff and another fun show as we just try to keep rolling along here on quarantine. And we were going to run this interview with AJ. Go ahead and set this up because this is obviously a UFC interview, but tell the people what we're about to run.
Yeah, so Brett Okamoto had an interview, a chance to talk to Dana White. Obviously, they've been Dana's been pushing really hard to get this thing done, this UFC 249, and when it couldn't be done, they went ahead and talked to him about what happened and what's the future holding right now for the UFC, when they're going to be back. So here's Brett Okamoto from ESPN with Dana White.
All right, Brett Okamoto from ESPN alongside UFC President Dana White. And Dana, a couple days ago, you know, we stood at your headquarters and you said UFC 249 is a go. We had a full fight card. You wouldn't tell us where the location was, but you said it was going to be on ESPN. What is the status of UFC 249 2 days later?
So, you know, I told you this whole thing has been a battle since day one. You know, we've been fighting nonstop all day and all night since this pandemic started to put on this event on April 18th. And today we got a call from the highest level you can go at Disney and the highest level of ESPN. And one thing that I've said since we started our relationship and partnership with ESPN that has been an incredible one. It's been an amazing partnership. ESPN has been very, very good to us. And the powers that be there asked me to stand down and not do this event next Saturday. And we're ready to go. And one thing that I need to point out is that Tachi Palace in California, the Indian Reservation, has had our back this whole time, has stood their ground, and was willing to do this fight. And let me tell you this, when the world gets back to normal, the California event will be at Tachi Palace. I'm doing a fight there. I'm going to bring them a big fight, and I appreciate them standing with me in this thing. And, you know, I want one other thing I want to really point out is all of my fighters that are under contract with me, I want them to feel safe, take time with your families, and you know, enjoy this time. Don't worry about the financial part of this. You're going to get the fights on your contract, and I'm going to make things, you know, right with the people who are willing to step up and fight this weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend on April 18th. And I'm going to take care of as many people as I possibly can and do whatever it takes to make these guys all feel comfortable. All of my employees, nobody's getting laid off at the UFC. Everybody's good. Mm-hmm. We will be the first sport back. Fight Island is real. It's a real thing. The infrastructure is being built right now.
Yeah.
And that's really going to happen. And it will be on ESPN. I don't know. That's it. That's where we stand right now.
I've known you for a long time, and I've covered you in this sport. And I know how hard you and your company worked to make April 18th happen. When you got that phone call saying that, hey, we need you to stand down, how does Dana White react to something like that?
Listen, I do what I say I'm going to do. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it, and we get it done. When I got the call, and, you know, these are people that I'm partners with, people whom I have a lot of respect with, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. You know, I obviously care a lot about, like I said, the fighters, my staff, and the fans. The fans, by the way, the fans have been amazing. You know, the people that have reached out to me, from celebrities to fans to friends and family and whoever it might be, the support has been unbelievable, and I appreciate the support very much. It's been incredible. And my staff. My staff is, you know, it's why I fought so hard and making sure that I'm not laying anybody off. My staff is world class, you know, the best. So it's all good. We're going to get through this, and we'll be the first ones back. Fight Island's coming, all the good stuff. It's coming, man. We'll get this thing squared away and get a date from ESPN. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back first, and we'll get these fights going that everybody wants to see.
What ultimately do you think was the piece of it that broke it? Because there were a lot of concerns going in, and I know that you guys were doing everything you could to address every concern. Why ultimately could this thing not go on?
First of all, health and safety is all we care about. It's number one for the UFC. It has been for 20 years, long before the coronavirus popped up. Mm. Number two, we figure out solutions. We figure out how to make things work, how to make it safe, how to make it happen. That's why we're the biggest and the best in the world. We pull off things that other people can't. Mm-hmm. Everybody said that I couldn't do this. Everybody said that I couldn't do this. Yeah. I can do this. I can go next Saturday. And if anything ever happened in California where I couldn't, I have another place right now with an athletic commission and the governor, and everybody's behind it. I can go April 18th. Let's make that clear. I don't crack to pressure. I don't. When people start coming after me, people have been coming after me for 20 years. I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. I don't care what people think. People don't know, what we do here, and they don't even try to know. You know, you saw this article that came out yesterday where this guy's talking about the health and safety in the hospitals and all. It's all lies. It's not true. Mm-hmm. What this guy wrote in the New York Times isn't true. Not fact at all. But these are the type of things that, and there's been tons of stories. And you're going to have these people that have these opinions. You know, some people are on this side, some people are on that side. I don't crack to that stuff. Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean that other people won't crack to it. I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could still go Saturday. I could go do this event. I'm sure ESPN, if they would let me do it on Fight Pass. But ESPN doesn't want me to do it. Mm-hmm. They're my partners. They've been nothing but amazing to me. I mean, before this even happened, all you heard me talk about this entire last year was how amazing ESPN is, how smart these guys are, how well everything's been done since we've been here. They want me to not go, then I won't go. But I'm going to make sure that everybody's taken care of, from my fighters to my employees. And, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's good here. You know, we're living in very uncertain times right now. A lot of people are worried about, how long does this last? Where am I going to have a job? When are they going to start laying people off here and there? Nobody's getting laid off here. My fighters will get every fight that they're supposed to get this year. Everybody's going to get paid, and all of my employees are taken care of too. So as long as that stuff's good, you know, I'm good. And I know the fans are chomping at the bit for some, for some fights to come back. I promise them I will be first, and I will be back very soon.
Is there any kind of, and I'm sure it's not concrete, but is there any kind of information you can give the people out there of what is the time frame? I mean, you say you'll be first. Well, what kind of time frame is possible, do you think?
I can go next week.
Mm-hmm. ESPN didn't indicate. They just said that they don't want to do it.
I can go next week. So whenever my partner gives me the thumbs up that they're ready to go, I'm ready to go. Hmm.
I know throughout this entire process, you were telling your fighters, continue to train, because we're going to get you fights, continue to train.
Yep.
What are you telling your fighters in terms of, I know you said enjoy this time off.
So obviously we need to go back and you know, figure out how we're going to handle this whole thing. Now, I was planning on being back on schedule April 18th, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, April 18th, I was going to be back putting on fights, and we'd be back on schedule by the end of May.
Yeah.
Right? So now I got to figure it out. You know, people just need to, listen, stay in shape and do the best you can. And we need to figure out what's next and how we're going to play our next hand.
All right, that's Brett Okamoto and Dana White, and there's a couple more minutes left in that interview, but some breaking news while we were playing that interview that I thought maybe warranted our immediate attention, Fred. The Houston Texans have traded their second-round pick, number 57 overall, for wide receiver Brandon Cooks and a fourth-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. So now, essentially, they traded DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. Does this make you feel any better?
Well, on the surface, I don't mind this trade. But you put it in context of, okay, so Brandon Cooks is worth the same thing DeAndre Hopkins is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Brandon Cooks. I think this is a good pickup. He's a better Will Fuller who stays healthy for the most part.
Yeah.
So I like the addition. But on its own, if we just take it for, hey, the Texans just made this trade. But the, you know, when you put it in context of, well, they gave up the same thing that essentially Arizona gave up for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know. So my instant reaction is I like it. You're not going to get a better player than Brandon Cooks at 57 and you get a fourth round pick back. And I mean,
he'll be 26 this season. So 20, you've got, and he's signed through the 2023 season. So you've got control over him. And I mean, who knows? I doubt the Texans will keep him until then because nobody apparently wants to keep Brandon Brooks for too long. And in 2021, you've got a potential out where your dead cap drops to $13 million. And it drops to 8 and then 3.5 in the last year of the deal. But I got to give him credit. This is it's a good move. He's a good player, and you don't give up a whole lot. You give up a second round pick, which is what you got back in that Hopkins deal. And you know, he's not a super expensive guy. You're talking about a guy who's going to make $8 million this year. And won't make more than $14 million a year in his entire, you know, in the entirety of this contract. So you don't have to worry about that. Although something tells me if Brandon Cooks performs, he's going to start wanting to ask for more money too. So he's not DeAndre Hopkins certainly, but you've at least got a number one wide receiver now.
What the hell are the Rams doing? I mean, they're getting rid of everybody.
They're cutting cap. They're I mean, they are kind of starting over. Which,
well,
guess what?
Like,
that's what happens when you pay a quarterback that kind of money. You know, when you make your quarterback one of the highest paid guys in the league, you got to get creative with how you're going to build that team around him. And trust me, the Texans are going to run into that problem eventually, sooner than later, you would think.
Well, yeah, probably. I'm going to guess next year, that's when the big money's going to kick in. But
yeah, and mind you, I'd rather have Deshaun Watson and build around him with a bunch of nonsense than I would Jared Goff. But it's tough, man. It's tough when you've got a guy on the cheap and then you pay him. Once that team that you've built around him, it can't last for long. And, you know, kudos to it. There's a couple teams. The Seahawks have been able to do it. You know, they basically rebuilt their entire team because they lost everybody after they signed Russell Wilson. And they've remained relatively competitive. But it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. And, you know, we've got one texter saying, well, he's one concussion away from being retiring and he's done. That's why they're doing it. You know, I mean, the guy had 1,200 yards 2 years ago, and yeah, he was hurt a little bit last year, but I mean, I think, you know, from a talent standpoint, it's a good pickup. I mean, there's no question. And he's a guy. The only thing that concerns me is that how many times has he been traded now? This is like the third time. That's usually not a good sign that teams are willing to get rid of you. Although he went for ones the last two times. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do more on this when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and a couple of things on the Brandon Cooks trade. George says, rumor was he was on his way to the Colts. They backed out due to concussions. He's a good receiver, but it's not Hopkins. Nobody's saying he's Hopkins.
Yeah, he's not Hopkins.
But no, he's a very different kind of receiver. But you look at it in context, that's maybe Cobb's a little overpaid, but now you've got Brooks and Cobb and Stills, and, you know, I'm not going to mention Fuller because, you know, that's a pretty good receiving core. I mean, it doesn't excuse, and I'm not going to automatically jump on Bill O'Brien every time he does something because I do think he's done a couple of good things. They don't seem to make sense to me in context with each other a lot, but I like this trade. I'm not going to lie. I think this is a good pickup for him. And, you know, I think especially since he's going to have plenty of time to get healthy because I don't think they're starting on time. I like it. I mean, you know, would they still be better with DeAndre Hopkins and Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills? Yeah, certainly. But that's a pretty decent group of receivers now. And now you can use that first pick for a corner or an edge rusher. I like it. And Roy says, go read the comments on the Texans Instagram word search post. I don't really have time to do that during the show, Roy. Maybe you could tell me what fans.
No, I saw them post a word search, and I was like, oh, God, they're just opening themselves up for this. They're idiots. But listen, this is – if you're saying, okay, they got Brandon Cooks and they don't have DeAndre Hopkins – yeah, obviously DeAndre Hopkins is better than Brandon Cooks. But the Brandon Cooks, that ship has sailed. They traded him, okay? So he's gone. So they bring someone in to replace him. I mean, I'd rather Brandon Cooks than whatever rookie they could have gotten with their second-round pick. So I'm not mad at it. They're separate transactions. If you're still mad about the Hopkins thing, that's perfectly understandable. But this is a separate deal, and honestly, it's better than what they had. It's better than what they would have gone into the season with, so I'm not upset with it at all.
832, Cooks is also a guy who's always played with a great QB, Breeze, Brady, and Goff at his best. Not sure how good he actually is.
Well, guess what? He's got a good one.
Yeah. I mean, now he's playing with Watson, so doesn't matter, right? Boy, it just got dark here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really dark. So, Stormageddon has officially hit East Downtown. So, somebody says, what if Hopkins was going down the AB lane, going nuts, and O'Brien was cutting bait early like the Steelers did with Brown? Would we consider him brilliant then? There's no indication of that. Brown was already showing all kinds of issues when they traded him. DeAndre Hopkins never did anything like that. So, again, I think that's Bill O'Brien leaking propaganda if you're hearing that or believing that, which he does all the time, by the way.
Well, let me ask you a question here, Fred, because I just pulled up his numbers. Do you think of Brandon Cooks as a number one wide receiver?
I think of him as a really good number two.
Okay.
Which, you know, but if you have three number twos, that's pretty good. Most teams don't have that. So,
all right.
Why do you?
I mean, based on the numbers I'm looking at, probably not. he was he was basically the third option last year in L.A., and it wasn't even close. I mean, he literally had half the looks that Robert Woods had and half the looks that Cooper Kupp had, and saw less targets than Tyler Higbee. So I don't know if he's a number one at this point, or maybe it was just that he was in an offense where there were a lot of mouths to feed and he just didn't fit what they were doing as much. I think that Brandon Cooks is still a solid wide receiver. I still think he's better than what anything that they've got, you know, on the roster without him. But I don't know if he's a number one guy. I think you're still hoping that Will Fuller can stay healthy and be a number one guy at some point.
Well, and they believe that. I don't, but that's okay. I mean, you know, they think that, and if he is and he's what he's shown when healthy and can be healthy, then yeah, he's your number one. But if not, I mean, you go back to 2018, and he missed some time last year with the concussions, but 80 catches, 1,204 yards, 10 touchdowns. I'm sorry, 5 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. And, you know, he had 4 straight years of over 1,000 yards. I don't know if it makes him a number one, but if you're getting that, then I think you're all right. You want to take a call real quick?
Sure.
Shelley, you're on the Blitz. Go.
How are you?
We're doing sports. How are you?
Sports. Thank you, guys. Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to Whit Myers. Would have known about Whit Myers if I didn't listen to y'all. Went today, and I work in the medical field, so I'm an essential employee. And I just wanted to say that they worked with us, our office, and we were able to get 25 gallons of hand sanitizers. And so I just wanted to say thanks to you, your show, and thanks to Whit Myers.
All right, yeah, okay. good plug for Whit Myers. Those guys are doing really good things, and the amount of I saw them, they were on like the front page of the Chronicle. I mean, they've been all over the place. They gave a ton of hand sanitizer to Texas Children's, and like they said, how much do you need? And I think they needed 25,000 gallons or something crazy like that. And they've basically just stopped producing booze, and they've dedicated what they've been doing, or they've dedicated their, you know, their efforts onto this hand sanitizer thing. So we've always known those are good dudes, and they're doing things the right way.
Seriously, thank y'all, because I wouldn't have known about them if I didn't listen to y'all. So avid listener, I know it's not sports, but y'all talk about everything. So I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody and say thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for supporting. Yeah. Hope you got some booze when you were out there.
I did.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Good.
And I'm going back Saturday.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys have a great weekend. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Same to you. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about those guys. And I mean, they're doing this now. Last year, basically, you know, they donate an entire month to veterans, and they do a dollar off of every sale to veterans. They're just good dudes, man. And I'm proud to call them friends of ours. And, you know, we've got a great relationship with them, and they're just good people. I mean, I can't say enough good things about them. And, you know, they gave us 5 barrels for our beer at True Anomaly, and, you know, which was just cool. So we're all stoked. So 713-780-ESPN is the number. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of hatred of this deal. I don't get it.
That's because people expect him to be DeAndre Hopkins, and he's not. But he's better than anything else you had. And you can look at the money, and the money says, oh, these guys are making about the same amount of money. The difference is DeAndre Hopkins wanted a lot more and really was in a position where he deserved a lot more. This is probably, I would assume, Brandon Cooks, I mean, unless Brandon Cooks ends up being incredible, this is about what he's worth.
Yeah, I agree. And George asked, does this put them ahead of the Colts and still behind the Titans? I don't know if it puts them ahead of the Colts. I still think the Colts depending on how Phillip Rivers works out, should be favored in this division. I still think they're ahead of the Titans. I think the Titans are looking at a bounce down year, and because I don't see any way Ryan Tannehill does what he did last year. I think if you're asking Derrick Henry to stay healthy as much as they use him, that's too much. And I think, I also think that Mike Vrabel calling plays on defense is not a good thing. So I'm not buying Titan stock this year. I still think the Colts are, to me, on paper, still look like the best team. But let's see what happens in the draft. And the only thing that I'd be semi-critical of, and maybe it's just over, maybe I'm being too willing to look for bad things in Bill O'Brien. It sure seems like everything they're investing in right now is their offense. If I'm not mistaken, that defense sucked last year.
Well, listen, they got rid of DJ Reader, so that's probably going to help.
Yeah, and, that's a positive.
Right. And then, natural progression with Lonnie Johnson. I'm sure J.J. Watt is going to be healthy all year. So they feel like they're covered there.
Yeah,
that makes sense, right?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Whitney Mercilus got a big raise. Why do you think he won't perform better?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see some. I mean, if you're going to trade some more draft capital, I'd like to see some effort on the defense.
Yeah.
A little bit. But that's. I mean, I'm not going to be critical of this. I like this move. I think in a perfect world, if he's healthy and if you get 10 games out of Will Fuller, you got a pretty damn good receiving core with Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb. So that's some good weapons for Deshaun. And, yeah. All right.
Exactly.
We probably need to go to break here.
I got
to
tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. And Allstate, listen, they've got their guys doing things the right way. They're taking extra care to make sure that when they're installing, you are safe and their installers are safe. They're doing things. They're taking the extra steps. And it's never been easier to get siding done. If you're remodeling, call Allstate Siding and Windows. Time to change out those old aluminum windows for some solid, beautiful windows from Allstate Siding and Windows. Energy-efficient windows, and the siding can be energy-efficient, too. You'll save on your electric bills. The siding of today is more durable, and they've got spring specials. No payments for 2 years, $2,500 off siding, so now is the time to get it done. They're family-owned and operated for over four generations. They're the kind of people you want to do business with. They've got senior discounts. They've got military discounts, cash discounts. Guys, you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's Allstate Siding and Windows.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And we have a caller who wants to weigh in on the trade. Let's go to Jules. What's up, Jules?
Hey, sports.
Sports, Jules.
As much as I can't stand O'Brien, as much as I understand how certain fans and Texas organization keep supporting this man, this trade is a win. You can tell that their offense is trying to be faster. Brandon Cooks has to have speed. Cobb can get open. It's just making off. It's making his offense the way he wants it. And I love Hopkins. He's quarterback proof. He can throw any quarterback, he can still get 100 yards. 100 receptions. So for people who are really downplaying or hate on the trade, got the feelings, bro. Got the feelings.
Well,
understand
listen,
what you're trying to do.
I think that the if people are upset about this trade, they're looking at this trade and the Hopkins trade combined as one deal. If you look at the deals separately, this isn't a bad trade. You know, getting Brandon Cooks for a second-round pick and picking up a fourth-rounder, aside from the Hopkins deal, isn't a bad deal. If you think trading Hopkins for David Johnson and Brandon Cooks is a bad deal, I agree. I think that is a bad deal. So I think if you look at them set, like I've already come to terms, trading DeAndre Hopkins was an idiot move. It was a stupid thing. They shouldn't have done it. But that was already done. So now you give me the choice of the Texans either going into the season with Will Fuller as their number one and Kiki Kuti or some second-round rookie as their number two, or you bring in Brandon Cooks. I feel better about the team now than I would have had you told me yesterday this is what you're going into the season with. If you try to look at it as one big trade, it's still you still end up in the red. It's a bad trade. But if you look at them at two separate deals, it's one really bad trade and one good trade. So, it doesn't make up for the bonehead thing that they did with Hopkins, but it's better than not doing anything, I think.
Yeah, and I agree.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
No, go ahead.
And I still saying if Fuller can't stay healthy, you have his backup for next year. So like I said, I think he's a dumb coach. I think he's an even dumber GM. But he got some type of plan, and it is what it is at this point. Hopkins is gone. There's no point to keep crying over spilled milk. And he's still gonna be a Texan lore forever. But it is what it is. It's not a bad trade. It really is not.
All right. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you guys said there. And you know, my issue is though, and it's not about this trade. My issue is I don't see the plan. You know, I don't see where, because there's just too much that contradicts stuff. Like I like the Tunsil trade. I know he gave up a lot, but if you're going to do that, why are you trading Clowney for pennies on the dollar? You should keep him. I like the Carlos Hyde trade. He got a useful running back for him for a full season for a guy who, yeah, they made a mistake on in the draft. You know, but obviously the Hopkins trade was just an absolute disaster. But, you know, this one I like. So, I mean, I'd love to sit here and say everything this guy does is stupid. But if you separate them, yeah, I like the trade. What I don't get is what the plan is here. I don't see the vision, if that makes sense. I mean, what is it they're really trying to accomplish here?
That's a harder answer to or a harder question to answer. I think that, you know, again, it gets back to what's important to Bill O'Brien are guys who will fall in line with what he wants to do and his philosophies. And maybe Brandon Cooks is a guy who's going to be out there practicing every week. And if that's what's important to him, so be it. Do I think that the team is better for it? No.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm always willing to step back and look at everything in context. So maybe when he's done, it'll make sense. That's just what I don't see right now, is I just don't see the, you know, I don't see the plan. I don't see the vision. I just, you know, see a kid playing with toys. But,
yep.
You know, this time I think he picked up a pretty good toy. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. Wow, we've only got one segment.
One segment left.
Boy, that flew by. All right, we'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, last segment of the day. And something we do every Thursday is Hoffman on Hollywood. We're going to have to do it without Fred, so I'll tell you what's going on in Hollywood, Nick. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
Saturday Night Live, their first new show since the coronavirus outbreak. The episode was produced remotely as cast and crew are adhering to social distancing guidelines. So it's going to be an interesting show. It's going to feature material that was produced sometimes from their home or one at a time in their in the studios. So it's definitely going to be interesting. But it looks like basically Saturday Night Live was done via Zoom in some situations. So I'm interested to see how they made it work. But their last episode aired on March 7th, after which it went on a normally scheduled break. The show was set to return March 28th, but obviously didn't happen. And basically every live talk show has either gone on a temporary hiatus or they've had some sort of a production workaround. The Late Show, Tonight Show, Daily Show, Jimmy Kimmel, they've all been doing things from home. This is going to be interesting to see what Saturday Night Live does in this situation. It's definitely not a normal one.
I'm really curious to see how that works. I don't know if you saw Bill Maher last week, but he did it from home and then interviewed Willie Nelson, and it was, it wasn't perfect. It's kind of like, us, but it was pretty cool. So I'd really be interested to see how that works for Saturday Night Live. I never watch it anymore. I might now.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell else are you going to watch?
Exactly.
Vince Gilligan says that, and by the way, I haven't watched it, but the eighth episode of Better Call Saul, apparently he says was the most challenging episode of his career. So there's spoilers in the story that I found today, so I haven't even read the full story, but he did say that of all the things he's ever done, it was the toughest thing he's ever worked on. 18 days he spent directing that television episode, and said it was by far the most difficult episode he's ever done.
Well, maybe you should have made it easier and made a better episode.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. I really have found the show to be disappointing this year, especially the last few. I'm hoping it picks back up, but I just thought, I don't want to give away any spoilers because you're going to wind up watching it, but it was very reminiscent of the Walking Dead episode where they just walked and talked for an hour. I guess that's why it was challenging, because it just wasn't very good.
Oh, well, that's disappointing. Tyler Perry. Normally, if I'm talking about Tyler Perry, I'm making fun of a horrible movie. But I'll give a shout-out here. Tyler Perry paid for all the groceries bought in senior hours at 44 Kroger's in Atlanta and 29 Winn-Dixie's in New Orleans. He paid for all of it, which is really cool if you ask me. I mean, this is, you're talking about guys, you're talking about, several thousand dollars. And he covered all the groceries for all these seniors. So a lot of people doing a lot of good things. Hell, even the CEO of Twitter giving billions to coronavirus, trying to come up with a cure. So, there's a lot of heroes right now, including Asa Akira. Are you familiar with her?
I am not.
Nick, are you familiar with her?
I feel like if I saw her, but no, I don't remember her. No,
she is a popular pornographic actress. She is donating money to coronavirus. She's got 1.9 million followers, wrote in an Instagram post. Things I wish I could Instagram. Part of my Pornhub income this month will be donated to New York City hospitals. So as an incentive to help, right now if you join, I'll send you a personalized thank you video. And basically she did a little striptease and says that all the money that that she makes off of Pornhub this month going straight to coronavirus help. She looks a little bit like Lucy Liu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check her out. She's
appeared in over 500 films. And in 2013, she became the second Asian person to win the AVN Female Performer of the Year award. So, she's 34 years old. I don't know how much longer she's got in this business. So the fact that she's donating is very, very gracious of her. Once I told you what she did, were you more familiar with her, Nick?
Yeah, I do remember her now.
Most of the other stuff is depressing stuff. There is one more Joe Exotic story. which there's a lot of discussion about, will there be a Joe Exotic movie? I don't know that there's that anyone's like said, hey, we're going to make one of these. But apparently now there is someone planning to make it. And who do you think they went with, or who do you think they're talking to about playing the role of Joe Exotic, Fred? Who of all the names you heard, who did you like?
Well, I like Danny McBride the best. I thought that would have been perfect.
Well, they're considering Orlando Bloom, who, when I think of young Orlando Bloom, it's really hard for me to picture. But then I looked at a current picture of Orlando Bloom. He's not as baby-faced as he once was. I could actually see it working. So I don't think it's the worst idea.
As soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, recent Orlando Bloom, that might work. However, I think making a movie out of it's a terrible idea.
I do too.
I mean, you're not going to make a movie that's better than the true story.
No.
So other than just trying to capitalize on this popularity, I think it's a dumb idea.
I agree. And I think that living with Katy Perry is what's aging him, by the way.
Oh, probably.
But that is that's another Corona episode of Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
Well, I'm gonna say shout out to Tyler Perry. I now forgive you for ruining Alex Cross.
Okay.
For what you did, I will forgive you for that. So. Anyway. All right. Well, we got Braddock and Creighton next, right?
I believe so.
Now, be good to get Jason's take on this trade. I mean, like most of us, he's not a Bill O'Brien fan, so it'll be interesting to see what he thinks. But overall, and we do have a story up on SportsMap that Jermaine did, and I'm going to go check that out and post Jason's latest draft article as soon as the show's over. But, I know people are just automatically going to melt down, but I like the move. And, you know, yeah, if you're concerned about the concussions, then okay. I, for one, think that, he sat out enough time where hopefully he can come back and it won't be an issue. But, you know, that's a concern, but that's why you're giving up a second, not a first, because everybody else gave up a first for him. And I like the potential of the group they have now. When you look at him, and Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb and I said to me, there is no Will Fuller, but if he winds up giving you something, that's a pretty good group to go into the season with. And, you know, a lot of speed in that group, that's for sure. So, you know, if that's the direction they want to go, maybe it works out. I mean, even if you had decided, hey, I'm going to trade DeAndre Hopkins and then go make this move for Brandon Cooks, and you got a first-round pick and more for Hopkins, this would make a hell of a lot more sense.
Yeah.
It really would.
Better. If you look at the trade separately, it's one really bad trade and one solid trade. If you look at them together, the first trade was just so bad that you can't get there.
Yeah. What do you think, Nick?
Of the trade?
Yeah.
I think you have to look at it separately. But I think it also still puts the burden on Bill O'Brien about this whole vision. And like you said in the segment, you don't know. You're not sure what his vision is. If his vision comes out to be a positive thing, then we're all going to look stupid, because sometimes a vision takes months, years to kind of take into to kind of see the results of that vision. So I don't know if this is a real vision or if it was an ego thing. I'm still leaning towards the ego part of Bill O'Brien. That's just me.
Well, that's because almost everything he does seems to be ego driven, but
yeah,
you know what? I'll be the first one. If this actually works out for him next year, I'll be the first one to say, you know what? I was wrong, but I still would have gotten more for DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm still really concerned about taking on David Johnson's contract and for what he was and what he's been over, you know, his entire career, except for one season. He's been Alfred Blue other than that. So we'll see. So, what do you guys got going on tonight? Anything?
I don't know what I got. Uncut Gems. So I might watch that.
Is it trivia night for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do trivia night. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Never mind.
Yeah, R-Bar on Facebook, right?
Yes, R-Bar Facebook.
Yeah, okay. Boy, the days are running together so much. My goodness. But, yeah, I'm gonna do a couple things for Sports Map when I get off here and then see how much more damage I can do to writing the sequel to Jesus and hopefully have it ready for the people here by hopefully Monday at the latest. It's coming along really well, and, you know, I know where the story's going, and I've got some great characters, and I think it's going to be entertaining, and it's different from anything that I've ever read. It's written. It's very Stephen Kingish in terms of the structure.
All right.
So hopefully people will enjoy it. All right. Well, are we having music playing?
Cause we are.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I want to say great job, AJ, as always. Great job, Nick. Always a pleasure to work with you. Pretty okay job from my assistant producer, Dog, who showed up the last 30 minutes and has been chewing things. I did okay today. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.